And now, on with the show.
Hey, welcome everybody. Here we go once again with a brand new episode of Weekend Watch, a production of Green Mushroom Media. I am your host, Spencer, sitting here with Keith.
Hey, that's me.
And also David.
That's who I am.
So you claim.
Yeah.
Boys, how are we doing this evening?
Doing very well, thanks. Been a long day, but you know, here we are.
We're here.
Movies and shit.
The only things we do in our downtime, watch movies.
What else are we supposed to do?
Nothing. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
When movies are available, why would you do anything else? You think I'm going to go for a run? Look at me.
I don't want to do that either.
You don't want to look at me or you don't want to go for a run? Probably either of those.
Both.
Yeah.
I more so don't want to look at you, but I definitely don't want to do both things.
Like, if you run away from me? Yeah. If you saw me on the street? Uh-huh. You and most women. Ouch. That one hurt. That hurt to say.
Self-burns. Those are rare.
Yeah. But when they hit, they're also the most satisfying for everyone else. So
it's good. It's a good laugh.
All right. Well, what do we do here on this show, Weekend Watch? We talk about what you should be streaming this weekend on your favorite streaming services. We don't have a theme this week, so we're going to get into a wide variety of pretty sweet stuff to check out. So let's jump in. Keith, lead us off.
Yeah, I'll start us off. I've got a fun little show that you actually turned me on to. I didn't even know it existed until you told me about it. And I'm so glad you did because I loved this show. It's on Amazon Prime Video. It's called Players.
Paramount.
It's on Paramount? Oh,
yeah.
It's Paramount through. Okay. My Paramount's through my Prime. So I loaded up through Prime. So that's why I thought it was. Okay. So it's on Paramount Plus. And it is called Players, and it is a brilliant mockumentary about a professional League of Legends team in the LCS. And it centers itself around a couple of players, mostly one named Cream Cheese and another new player named Organism. And it's just fucking outrageous. It is so hilarious. It is so cringy. And man, I just loved every second of it. If you've ever been into LCS, this is especially something you should watch. But if you know nothing about League of Legends or LCS and you just like mockumentaries, this is also something that you would really enjoy. I told all my friends who play League about this because there's some actual people from, like, there's some like casters and stuff that are part of LCS that are in this mocu-series that they nail it. It's really good. And the characters are just so good. Cream Cheese, man. The guy cracks me up. He's such a piece of shit.
I got about two episodes of this down, and I'm a little ashamed to admit I didn't realize this was a mockumentary. I thought this was a real fucking
Yeah, I totally understand that feeling. It definitely, I feel like we've all at one point in our lives known a Cream Cheese. Yeah. Being the nerdy little fellas that we are.
Yes, there's been many a Cream Cheese through our paths, and man, he is just alpha nerd, isn't he? Oh, and he gets so much worse as it goes on. Some of the things, like it's like, what do you love, Patron? You love Patron, let's go out and do Patron shot. Like, just trying so hard to be cool, and he's not a cool person at all. Man, I love this series.
There was one scene that was super emblematic of the type of person he is for me. David, you might not have quite got there yet, but you're probably pretty close. You know, he and Organism are living in the same house. Everybody's away for the off season and they're still training and they're not getting along, right? And Cream Cheese goes up to Organism and like, I think he stuck his hand into the other guy's cereal bowl, like out of like just trying to piss him off.
And just like looking him in the eye.
Yeah, it sticks his hand right into a cereal bowl as he's eating. And Organism picks up the bowl and throws the whole thing at him, milk and all. an organism just looks at him like, are you serious right now? Like, how dare you? Yep, that one was like, ah, I've known people like that. Yes.
Because what starts it off, he's eating like Rice Krispie treats or something, and he looks over and he's like, you're going to have to eat a quieter cereal. This whole fight between them is fucking hilarious.
Oh, man. You know what the best part is? The whole series, the humor in it is so dry.
Well, yeah, and that's part of the reason why I didn't even realize that it was fucking fake. That there's that scene where they're sitting there interviewing Organism's parents, and she's talking about him pissing in Gatorade bottles, and it's like, yeah, that's pretty normal League of Legends
definitely behavior.
Yeah, this is real life.
The one character that just doesn't sell me as, and I don't know. It is Organism's brother. I feel like a lot of his acting is a little more forced and in that character role. I'm not saying he's a bad actor or anything. I'm just saying the characters he's playing, that's where it's a little more noticeable. But when you're focused in on the LCS players, it feels very real. Like as they're climbing their way through the ranks and learning about each other, like this feels like a very real documentary at times. You're right. And I think that makes it just all the more better. Very much like, what was the one about the spray-painted dicks?
Oh, God. American Vandal.
Yeah, American Vandal. You know, there were times where you're watching American Vandal where it's like, oh, yeah, this is fake. This one catches you in the same way, where it's like, okay, I got to remember that this is fake. And that, like, I can't actually root for these guys, you know. But I think it started well. It had a great climb, a great build, and then it had a great ending as well. Kind of a surprise ending, to me anyway. So I really like this series. I think it's good for anybody who's a fan of documentaries, mockumentaries, and especially the LCS and League of Legends. You would totally dig this show.
And I was that person. My experience with League of Legends is incredibly minimal. I don't watch any of the esports. I've never played a single match of Rift or whatever it's called. So I went into it not knowing pretty much anything about the game and still wound up loving the show and just binged it.
Yeah, it was great. 10 episodes or something like that. So pretty easy to get through, and I hope they do more. I hope we get another season of it.
Yeah, so do I. Absolutely. So check that out. It's Players. It's currently streaming on Paramount. All right, I'm going to switch gears here a little bit and go with something far different. My recommendation this week is the brand new Robert Eggers film, The Northman. It finally came out to stream on Peacock, and I think everybody needs to check it out. The Northman follows Prince Amleth, who's on the verge of becoming a man when his father is brutally murdered by his uncle, who kidnaps the boy's mother. 2 decades later, Amleth is now a Viking who's on a mission to save his mother, kill his uncle, and avenge his father. It is a epic Viking story, which I feel like we don't have many of outside of like series, you know, in a film form. It's made by Robert Eggers, who, if you're not familiar, also made The Witch in 2015 and The Lighthouse in 2019. It is very much a film by him. He's he's very much into the elevated horror genre, and he brings some of that to this movie, even though it's not really a horror movie. Like I said, it plays out. David, you summed it up perfectly. You said it played out like watching a Viking saga unfold.
Yeah, I mean, I've listened to many of these stories told by a great podcaster, another podcast I'm not going to advertise for on ours, but so I'm not unfamiliar with the way these stories are constructed and told, and this was such great storytelling the whole way through. The cinematography, it felt like a mushroom trip a little bit. It felt kind of drug-like in some sequences when he was in the very first scene when before dad dies, when he's down in they're sitting around the fire with Willem Dafoe, and that whole scene was just feverish.
And I'm really glad he got Willem Dafoe for that because it's the perfect thing for him.
Oh, yeah. Fuck yeah.
Yeah, it was great.
Willem Dafoe did an amazing job in that movie.
Yeah.
From the very first scene.
Played a pretty small role, but it was super impactful. I think the acting was great. I thought the realism was great. But probably my favorite part about this was that it was also fantastical. Like these... It was very much leaning on the fantasy side of what these Vikings believed in.
Like, right, the mythical part of it.
I mean, right down to like the fateful actions and the prophecies and stuff like that. Everything fit so neatly together like a puzzle, but not so predictably together, you know? I like by the end of it that like nobody really wins. There's no good guys. There's no bad guys. This is just a tale. Like this is
it's morally ambiguous for sure.
Yeah. It's weird at times. It's when you said horror, there's a couple of scenes that radiate in my mind. One of them being the one where Nicole Kidman is like shouting at him as he's like leaving her room as an adult. And she is terrifying. You know how you said Anya Taylor-Joy, who's also in this, riveting. She's awesome in this. How she's like not human and very not human-like. I feel like Nicole Kidman is even more so.
Yeah.
Like, on that front, like she's terrifying. She was extremely scary in this film for whatever. Like she's kind of scary to look at. Her character was scary. It was a great role for her. She did great.
Definitely. Going back, David, to the when you said how it felt like a drug trip, yeah. That is very much a choice of the director. Sure. All his films have that element to it where you don't quite know what's real.
Yeah,
where
it has a level of
everybody is an unreliable narrator.
Yeah, it has a level of surrealism that still plays into the realism of the story. So it's confusing at times, but not in a bad way.
His fight with the Draugr was amazing.
It was top notch, right?
Then I
love how at the end it like takes you back to reality.
Yeah.
And when he grabs the sword, it's just sort of anticlimactic. He's built up this anxiety in his head and it was nothing.
Yeah.
I like that the sword itself is a character. I like what he did with stuff like that because that is also like very much a part of like Viking stories.
Yeah. Yeah. These
items,
legendary artifacts that do magical things, fantastic things.
They have their own character. They have their own like aura, whatever you want to call it. Like, but he captured that so well in this movie.
Yeah. So I definitely recommend watching it. I hugely recommend watching The Witch and The Lighthouse, his first two movies. Definitely both more on like firmly on the horror side of it, but definitely go and check out The Northman. It's streaming on Peacock. David, bring us home.
All right. My recommendation this week is, I guess I was reading that this is kind of developed a cult following and based on the income that it had when it was originally released, it didn't do too great. But I really enjoy this movie. Reign of Fire. We were just talking about it. It came out in 2002 and I feel fucking old now. but Reign of Fire is set in England in the year 2020, 20 years after London tunneling project workers inadvertently awakened dragons from centuries of slumber, and the creatures have subsequently replaced humans as the dominant species on Earth. With the fate of mankind at stake, two surviving parties, led by Quinn Abercrombie and Denton Van Zandt, find that they must work together to hunt down and destroy the beasts in a desperate attempt to take back the world. It's Christian Bale and Matthew McConaughey. Matthew McConaughey being a fucking Texan badass, American muscle, taking down dragons in one of the more unique post-apocalypse scenarios I've seen.
Yeah, I remember watching this in the theater, I believe, when it first came out, and absolutely loving it, considering I was like 14 at the time. definitely a movie that 14-year-olds should love, and everyone should love now, because it is pretty badass. It has that iconic scene of Matthew McConaughey leaping from the tower with a battle axe, with an axe in his hand.
A fucking battle axe.
to land on a dragon to slay him. That's good stuff. It is really top notch. I love, you know what my favorite part about this movie is? It's only an hour and 40 minutes long.
Yeah, nice and digestible.
The perfect length for a movie like this.
Yeah, it's quick, quick in and out. Lots of fire, lots of dragons. One thing that I wish we would have gotten a little bit more out of this, and it's probably because it didn't survive out the gate, and it's just now in the past like 5 years, maybe 8 years, gaining steam with a cult following, is it had really good lore potential that we didn't really get to crack into, and I want more. But other than that, you know, the characters are good. The cast is fucking amazing. This is a Matthew McConaughey that we don't get to see in today's film very often, where he's very kind of dark and gritty. He's not really a good guy. He's not really an easygoing guy. He's kind of a fucking tool whose job is to destroy these beasts, and he's good at it. I like that the dragons are not indestructible, but still almost magical in a way, you know?
They're fucking dragons.
Yeah. It's a really interesting film, because it's really, I don't know, all in all, it's really not that good, but it's fucking badass at the same time. And I wish we could have gotten a little bit more into the rich lore that it offers.
You know, the funny part about that is I was looking, trying to figure out if this was based on anything, and it's not. This is an original screenplay.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't based on a book. It wasn't based on anything else. It's just somebody was like, had the idea, wrote it. You don't get that anymore.
I think sometimes I do appreciate when they just one-shot a story. It's nice, and maybe it's not resolved entirely at the end, but it's got its own kind of little bow on top, and then they don't try and just murder this horse to death, you know?
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah, I can appreciate that, rather than coming out and doing an even lesser budget sequel to try and like scrounge a few more bucks out of it, because that would have been really bad. But what would have been really cool is if it blew up, and we got like a nice little trilogy or something out of it.
Sure.
It has the bones.
It does. Maybe that third one would have sucked too hard, though. I think it takes maybe finesse is not the right word, because it's definitely not what they're trying for. It takes going unnoticed at your release and making like just enough money to break even, maybe, for, you know, and then develop that cult following on down the road, for me to get what I want of just those one shot good stories. You gotta slip into the release water like a diver. Like Greg Louganis.
That is a reference no one will get.
Look that shit.
Oh man. All right. Well, check it out. It's Rain of Fire. It's currently streaming on Amazon Prime.
And Tubi.
So with that wraps up our recommendations for the week. Let's get into some film news. What should we talk about first? Keith, you posted this one today. I want to talk about it. Marcel the Shell with Shoes On is finally going to be available video on demand. You can rent it and should be able to purchase it digitally starting right now.
Yeah, that's great. I got a little too excited because I thought this meant it was going to be streaming on Amazon, but no, it's available to purchase and rent. I'm still probably going to rent it. I'm really excited to watch this film. I think these shorts are great, and you went and saw it with Laura. You told us it was awesome, so this might be one worthy of rental.
Yeah, I definitely recommend watching this. Spend the $4 to rent it or whatever it costs, because this movie is an absolute delight. It is a revelation for the soul. You will watch it and feel completely rejuvenated toward life.
Wow.
That's a big promise.
That's a big promise, man.
You will not regret spending $4 or $5 to check this out.
I feel like you're underestimating just how deeply exhausted I am.
Hey, man, give it a shot. That's all I'm saying. We'll right see. On. So check it out. Check it out. Marcel the Shell with shoes on. Spend the money. Let's talk about some other movie news. Guys, Scream 6 has a release date. It is wrapped filming. It will be coming to theaters March 31st, 2023. This one, I knew they were working on it. I did not realize it was going to be barely a year after Scream 5 released.
It was fast. I didn't realize they had even started filming until I saw the post that they had wrapped filming. So that's cool.
I don't believe, I think this is the one where they're finally not bringing back Neve Campbell. Was that right?
I think so. I don't remember. I don't know.
I'd have to look into that and see whether or not she's returning. Either way, I think I've made my love for the Scream franchise very clear over the past 110 episodes or however many we've done. So I'm super stoked for this. Probably going to go see this in the theaters when it drops. Did you guys watch
Scream 5? Sorry. No, I haven't watched Scream 5 yet. I need to still.
I want to say it's on Paramount.
Yeah, I think you're right. I know it's streaming somewhere. It was streaming somewhere. So
yeah, I don't know where it is now.
I don't think I've seen past Scream 2.
What? That's crazy talk.
Maybe I saw the third one.
Scream 3 is great.
Hell, Scream 4 was super entertaining, too. Mm-hmm. Scream 5. Scream 5 is still on Paramount. I don't know where the rest of them are. I know they're probably still available. So check them out. Watch the whole franchise. Just do it. It's worth it.
I think I got tired of Scream after the 50th time my sister rewatched the first one.
All right, fair enough. That would do it for any movie. All right, let's move on to something else that got announced. Keith, you had something. You said something with horror. Hit me.
Yeah, more horror news. We got an actual trailer for Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. I just posted it in our Discord. You should watch this trailer. I'm really excited for this movie. It's going to be fucking great.
Okay, so I'm cautiously optimistic about this, but part of me worries that this is just a straight up cash grab and that they did not put much effort into the film itself simply because of how much free publicity this movie has gotten.
Yeah, I get it. Did you watch this trailer?
No, I haven't checked the trailer out
yet.
You
should watch the trailer because I think it's going to be fun. Like, I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
I'm just curious what the budget was, because I really hope that they tried to make an actual decent movie.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch this. I'm definitely going to see it, because why wouldn't I? So we'll see. We'll see. Definitely going to watch it. There's a small part of me that's worried that it's going to be shit.
We see am I back? I'm back.
You're back.
Yeah. After watching this trailer, you see Christopher Robin grown up, coming back to see his friends, and shit's gone horribly wrong. And I don't know. I like the premise. I like what I see here. Yes, it's gonna be campy and goofy, and that's kind of what I want out of Blood and Honey.
Yeah, fair enough. Like I said, I'm pretty stoked on it. I'm just a little worried. That's all.
Fair enough. There's reason for worry.
I am very stoked for Hellraiser.
Yes, because we finally got a first look at what our female Pinhead is going to look like. And, oh boy.
Yeah,
she looks great.
Really, really good.
Laura had never seen the original Hellraiser, so we just watched it maybe like 5 nights ago.
Yeah.
And it just got me all the more stoked for this reboot.
That first movie is so good. It's just so good. The story, the characters, I just love that movie so much.
It's a classic. It is... It's so original, and the characters are so menacing, but in such a unique way. I love this lore, and I'm happy to see it rebooted. Hopefully they do it justice.
Just from the image, I'm thinking they're doing a good job. But yeah, I'm with you on that hope.
All right. What else should we hit real quick here?
Paramount Plus and Showtime are combining into one.
Yes, they are. They have combined into one-ish. I say ish because you do still have to pay a little extra if you want the Showtime content. So they're getting rid of Showtime's standalone streaming service. All its content is now available through Paramount for an additional $3 a month I don't want to say introductory price, but if you sign up for it by, I think, October 2nd, you lock in the all that extra stuff for, like I said, $3 a month on top of your Paramount price, whether you have ad-free or not ad-free.
Pretty worth it, considering I think Showtime standalone was like $10 a month or $12 a month.
And it was cheaper. It was actually like $6.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah, so still a definite savings. So that's pretty cool. We actually did it because, like I said, what's $3 more?
Especially for some stuff that is worth watching.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of decent originals, a lot of movies. If you're like not original movies, just a lot of new stuff, a lot of classics, a ton of A24 films, actually. Awesome enough. Yeah, check it out. It's worth it if you already have Paramount. Lock in that extra price, that little bit of extra. I lost my... Here we go. I never had that. Oh, a movie has been announced that follows the GameStop saga that happened on Wall Street a year or two ago, starring Paul Dano, Seth Rogen, Sebastian Stan, and Pete Davidson. It's going to be called Dumb Money. Yeah, I'm pretty stoked on this. Paul Dano is very clearly going to play, what's his name? Roaring Kitten, sure.
Yeah.
The guy who led the whole GameStop charge from Reddit.
Yeah, he's going to grow his hair out, put the headband on, and he's going to look exactly like that dude.
Yeah, it's great casting.
This is going to be fun.
I'm looking forward to that one. I'm sure we're still a ways off, but I'm looking forward to it. That one's going to stay in the back of my mind until it comes out. All right. Did you guys catch the new Rick and Morty premiere yet?
I didn't watch it. I really am excited to, though.
Yeah, new season has started airing. I'm not certain. I thought it was supposed to be on HBO Max next day, since it was...
Last season wasn't. Last season we had to wait for...
Did we? Oh, because yeah. I know some Adult Swim shows they're putting up next day, like Tuca and Birdie.
Yeah, definitely not Rick and Morty. Rick and Morty season 5 was happening while it was all on HBO as well, and we had to wait like the entire year after...
Oh, wow.
The show had aired before it got added.
All right. Fair enough. Well, we caught it because I DVR'd it through our YouTube TV. So
nice.
It was pretty good. I enjoyed it. I'll say it again. I love the show and hate that its fans almost ruined it.
Yeah, they're still trying. But good news is Dan Harmon and Justin Roiland say that they're on track to keep Rick and Morty rolling a season a year now. Which is pretty big for them, considering the first, 4 seasons had a couple of years at least between them, and they think that they could just keep rolling with the show forever until they're tired of it. So I love hearing that.
Yeah, very cool. That was, I think, our last bit of news. Is that it? Anybody got any more news?
We did confirm that we're getting Tobey Maguire as Spider-Man in the Kang Dynasty.
He coming back. Avengers Kang Dynasty. Is that one going to be the... I can't remember if that's Avengers 5 or 6.
I think it's 5. It's before the last one, yeah.
Gotcha. So that's pretty exciting. So they're still clearly going to be focusing on all this multiverse stuff, if he's coming back somehow.
Yeah, I like hearing that.
Yeah, definitely.
I guess I have one more thing.
Hit me, baby.
Cyberpunk expansion, DLC, is coming out 2023. Soon, when I didn't even see what month in 23.
That's video game news. We're talking movie news.
Why am I retarded?
I don't know.
We've yet to figure that out.
I'm completely in the wrong gear.
That's right. It's been a long week for all of us. All right. Well, that's it for news. That's it for recommendations. Thank you all for listening so much. Also, big thanks to Dylan, who's our number one patron over on Patreon. If you want to be the number two patron over on Patreon, head on over to our website, greenmushroommedia.com, follow the Patreon link, and sign up. I'll shout you out, too.
Number two. I have a legend.
You have a legend?
For Dylan.
Oh, hit me.
Legend has it that Dylan knows how many licks it takes to get to the center of a Tootsie Roll Pop.
Oh, that would not surprise me. That tracks. My boy loves his candy. That feels like an insult, and I didn't mean it that way. Love you, Dylan. Also, go check out our Facebook, our Twitter accounts, our Discord server. Come and talk to us about movies and such. And our website, and our Patreon. Thanks for listening. We will be back next week. Good night.